should our MLAs get a pay rise after next year's election? A public consultation starts today asking that very question. The last boost to our politicians' pay was in 2013. They got a whopping 11% increase, although they hadn't had an increase for over a decade before that. At the moment, an ordinary Assembly member gets £48,000 a year. That's twice the average wage here. Should they get more between 2016 and 2021? Should they get the same or should they get less? Now joining me on the phone is Pat McCartan. He's the chairman of the Independent Financial Review Panel, and they set the pay allowances and pensions of MLAs. Pat, you were also involved in this consultation document. Give me a flavour about what this document says.
Well, it really proposes that there is no immediate increase, but we're putting it out to consultation to hear the views of the public and the MLAs themselves. The current situation is that the budget for the Assembly is being cut further, down to 38 million. A few years ago it was 48 million. And so there is a full effect, as it were, both on salaries, allowances, expenses, and so on. Now, we as a panel, independent of the Assembly, have to make up our minds by June of this year as to precisely what should be in the package from the new Assembly in 2016. Now, it's interesting, Nicola, that MPs are about to have a 10% increase, Scottish MPs a 10% increase, in Wales even more than 10% increase, all due this year. So when we elect our MPs this year, they'll be going to a salary of £75,000. And currently the MLA is on £48,000. So that's an important issue. Then there's all the allowances for ministers, including the First and Deputy First Minister, for the speakers and for the chairs of committees. And we're asking people for their views on what should actually be paid. You're right to say that the MLA currently is paid twice average earnings in Northern Ireland, average earnings being £24,020 a year. And so that's the current relationship. We think that's
Pat, I'm just going to interrupt you quickly there, because I've read the report, and also says in your report, Northern Ireland Assembly members' salary are significantly greater per head of population than elsewhere. For example, three times greater than an MP, two times greater than an MSP, and 1.5 times greater than Wales. So
right,
we are getting paid good. They are getting paid very, very well. Cut to the chase. Do you think that our MLAs are getting paid too much?
No.
But you have suggested in this report a pay freeze for at least the next 6 years.
Yeah, given the current state of public finances, given the current state of the economy, that would seem to be probably about right. But there may well be a case, you know, some public service workers in public sector are having a small increase of 1% or thereabouts, depending on Treasury and so on. There may be a case for some indexation of the 48,000 over the next 5 years. Bear in mind, this will be 2021, the salary for that year as well as today.
I'm trying to get in some of the points here that I've been reading in the report.
Yep.
It says there that a junior minister is paid £60,000 a year. That's the flat rate. And it was interesting that you've said in this report, the panel found some difficulty in determining the exact role of a junior minister.
Yes, we have, and we did write and investigate this at the time of the last determination. And we've seen nothing since that really would say this is a vital role for an alliance. So there's no reason why there shouldn't be a junior minister, but the issue is do they deserve an additional allowance? And that's the issue that we can deal with.
So you think you should cut...
posing the question.
You should think they should not have that allowance. You should cut the allowance off them, the 12 grand.
Well, bear in mind that the number of ministers is going to reduce from 12 to 9, according to the Stormont House Agreement. So there's going to be a significant reduction in the numbers of ministers and the reallocation of duties from OFM, DFM. So we're really questioning, is there a need for junior ministers?
And also another thing that I find very interesting about that, there is going to be a reduction or a proposed reduction from 108 to 90 in the Assembly. But you have actually said in this report it will only go part of the way towards reducing what is clearly a significant imbalance in costs. Are you suggesting that we should be slashing our MLAs even more?
I'm certainly suggesting, well, I'm not the one that has suggested, and I have no opinion on the full numbers, but the First Minister has indicated recently that he'd be quite happy if there were only 70 MLAs. He's also said he'd be quite happy if there's a full review of all of the pay and allowances and a kind of body like there is in Westminster to oversight them, which would be even tougher, as it were, in relation to the rules. We're very mindful of that and are carrying out our review in time for the 2016 election.
Just one more question to you as well, that you had in the report that you did not want to deter people from coming into politics because you really need people to come in there to be part, and it's part of your remit.
So you
don't want to deter people like that. So do you think a salary of £48,000 is enough to attract the very best to become MLAs?
In Northern Ireland terms, it probably is just about enough. If you think of it as twice of the average earnings, that'll give you some idea. And life in politics is, of course, notoriously short. So to break a career, for example, to take a chance on being elected, and then if you are elected, on being re-elected and so on, is quite a challenge. And so there is a need for some reward, which is commensurate with that, those sorts of risks. And of course, we ensure that there is a pension provision as well. So those sorts of things we generally try to ensure are of a high standard to ensure that you attract people or retain people. So that's what that's about. And we're charged statutorily with responsibility for doing that.
Pat, also you were saying there that ministers are being reduced from 12 to 9. They are paid at the minute 86,000. Do you think that they should get a pay cut?
Well, that's a question that we're posing, and indeed there's a wide variation in the size of departments. Now, these are going to be reorganised in 2016 anyway, we understand. So there is a question there. If they are reorganised, should they all be at the one level? Bear in mind, they're all members of the executive, so they all carry that responsibility. But then there are small departments and large departments. The likes of health, for example, has almost 50% of the whole budget spent, but also the Department of Justice and, of course, the Department of Education are major budget holders. So you think in those terms, perhaps there is a need to separate one minister from another in terms of salary. But on the other hand, perhaps that's not what's desired either by the parties or the politicians themselves or the general public.
Pat, just stay with us there. We've also got former MLA Seamus Close on the line. Seamus, what do you make of what's being said in this report and some of the recommendations?
Well, essentially, I would find myself in broad agreement with the report by the independent review panel. I think they have analysed it. They've produced a reasonable paper. Their analysis, from what I can read of it, is pretty sound, and they're posing the right questions. I think the bottom line here is that MLA's salaries and the allowances paid to ministers, etc., they come from the block grant. And we know that the block grant is being reduced, some argue in monetary terms, but certainly in real terms, and that it will continue to be reduced over the next number of years. Every single day we're hearing about more austerity, more cutbacks in various departments. Now, I would consider to be totally unjust that cutbacks in departments, cutbacks in frontline services, should be used to pay MLAs an increased salary. It just does not hold up water. And therefore, Pat is absolutely right in freezing it for the 5 years. And I would make one possible change to that. If within the next 5 years, there is some dramatic change in the rate of inflation, which is unforeseen at the moment, then look at it again. But my understanding and the understanding of economists is that inflation is currently on a downward slope. It's flatlining at around about zero. It might even go into negative. And then in the 2018, 2019, 2020, it may go back up to about 2%. So based on that, again, it is fair and reasonable to keep their salaries at their current rates. And I don't see any reason to change it.
And just to give listeners some idea, a first Deputy First Minister is 120,000 a year, Speaker 92,000, Minister 86. A junior minister or committee chair is 60,000 and a deputy speaker 75,000, all other MLAs on a flat rate of 48,000. Now, somebody who may not agree with you, Seamus, is former Lib Dem MP Lempit Opic, who's on the line. Lempit, you would probably back the fact that our MLAs, MPs, politicians actually do a very good job and deserve what they get paid. Is that right?
I do, and it's great to speak to Seamus. I haven't spoken to him for a long time. How are you doing?
Very well, Lempit.
But same with me, actually. I do have a different view. Now, bear in mind, I'm not an elected member in any shape or form at the moment, so I have no vested interest to say this. But what I'm concerned about here is that the independent body seems to be making decisions based on what looks to me slightly random considerations. Surely we should start. I actually think it's right to have independent bodies making these decisions, but I'm not sure it's right to start saying, well, this is the financial difficulty that we're facing, so this is what people should get paid. You should surely start by saying, what is the right amount of money for this job? And I think it's a little bit curious when we start comparing what MLAs get paid, or indeed MPs get paid, compared to the national average, because frankly, if you ask the public, they'd either say MPs should do it for nothing, or they should do it for the average salary. And that is exactly what I used to hear when I was in Parliament. So yeah, sure, we could pay people 24,000 a year. If you don't pay people 24,000 a year to be MLAs, then you should say, what's the right peg for the job? And I think it's actually a little bit on the light side. There's another big problem here. People do not like the idea that politicians have their nose in the trough. They think that somehow it's worse if you're earning money for being a politician than for doing other jobs. And that you never get away from that. And I actually think that I would have liked to see the independent body be a little bit more supportive of the idea.
Well, let Pat come back on you on that now, Lempit. Pat, what do you say to some of the criticisms being levelled at the panel there?
I'm assuming Lempit hasn't read our paper because all of those arguments are in there. And we are fully informed and taking a very informed view of matters and then putting these issues out to the public for consultation. There's nothing speculative. There's nothing that we haven't considered. Full job evaluation study was carried out not that long ago. And there are four methods in which we compare pay to get it right, particularly based on private sector and public sector in Northern Ireland. And I'm absolutely convinced that the current rate we have is appropriate to attract and retain the right people in politics, and that our methods have not been found fault with before. But we'd be open to hear from Lembit and others if they do have a particular issue, and we will take those into account.
And Lembit, let's get real here. The medium Northern Ireland earning is 25,000 a year, and our MLAs are getting paid a flat rate of 48,000 a year. So that's pretty good going. And I just want you to stay with me here because we've got some callers on this issue. We've got Alex. What's your view on this?
Well, I think the MLA salary is probably appropriate for what they do. I think there's too many of them. But what I would think is wrong is the expenses. If you have a constituency where one party dominates, for instance, Lagan Valley, here the DEP dominate, they have four MLAs. They each claim 70,000. I think we should be a sliding scale for expenses where a party of one MLA or an independent gets the full amount. The second one gets three quarters, the third gets a half, if appropriate, and if there's a fourth MLA from that party, he gets a quarter.
Do you think that's fair?
I think it's ridiculous that you have an office, a party political office in the constituency, that if they have an MP, could be getting £500,000 a year in expenses. It means they then employ all their councillors to work for the MLAs, and the whole thing's just a big party political machine that's dedicated to re-elections.
Do you think your MLAs in your area do a good job for you, Alex?
I think some of them do, but what surprised me is that a party with one MLA can do the job for 70,000. And I sort of wonder, does the party with four MLAs do four times as good a job? I'd be very sceptical of that.
But who would you choose to get the most amount? Who would you choose to get the least?
I wouldn't. I would simply say on a party basis. If say, for instance, the DEP, if they have three MLAs, they get so much for those MLAs, and the MLAs can fight it themselves, sort of, who gets what.
So you think put it into one big pot and then they just divide it? Yeah.
You don't need a different office. You had a situation, I think, in Cumber where you had two party offices faced each other across the square. It's ludicrous. You don't need a party. You don't need these offices dotted all around the country.
Thanks very much, Alex. We now have John from Downpatrick. John, what's your view?
Quite simply, good morning to you.
Good morning.
No increases. Listen, we've had a problem over welfare reform. It's nearly 3 weeks now since the plug was pulled on it. They really need to sort that out, and there shouldn't be any talk at all about any increases. If you look in this morning's Belfast Telegraph, Rory Gallagher, McIlroy is setting up down south. The reason behind that is quite simple, the corporation tax. We can do corporation tax, but we can't agree on a damn thing. Gary Hart has said, fine, you're not going to get any investment here. So why should we pay them more? With regards to the number of MLAs, yeah, there are far too many. We have 6 counties in the north of Ireland. How about just a maximum of 10 MLAs between each county? That's 60 of them. And just one last thing, if I may.
Yes, of course. Carry on.
I've forgotten what it was now. Yeah, anyway, that'll do for now.
That'll do, John. Thank you very much for calling in. Now we're going to go to Carmel from Castlewell. And Carmel, what's your view on this?
Well, I think it's an absolute disgrace. Giving them more money and the state of the health department and the nurses ran off their feet, and also the state of the education and those people, they need more money.
Well, to be fair, Carmel, the report here is actually saying a pay freeze, so they don't want to give them any more money. But are you advocating that they get a pay cut?
Yes, they do get a pay cut. Why not give them a pay cut? Because give them a pay cut, put the money that they're going to ask for, and believe you me, Nicola, they will get more money. Because they will get it no matter what you say, they'll get a raise. And then the education and also the National Health Service has gone to pot altogether.
But Carmel, the decision on the pay is out of their hand. It's done as an independent review panel, so the decision is out of their hands. And also, I'm just going to play devil's advocate. They may be, you know, do you not think that they're doing a very good job, that they've given up maybe other professions to come in and to politics full time?
No, I don't think so, Nicola. No, I don't think so. I don't think that they have they're out doing a job. What are they doing? They're doing another job on the side. Is all that money not enough for them?
Well, I think I can't stand by that. I'm not, you know, I can't stand by that. They've all got these jobs on the side. But, you know, I, just from a personally speaking point of view, that where I live, I can see a lot of the MLAs, they're in the papers, they're going to reviews about road service, they're going to visit other constituencies, they're in local schools. You know, it is a 24-hour a day, 7-day a week job, because the constituents just ring you whenever they need you.
Right, and okay, Nicola, I'll tell you what. You ring someone, right? You ask them, you tell them your problem. Then they come to your door and look for a vote. And when they come for a vote, oh, I'll do this for you and I'll do that. And at the end of the day, they do nothing at all.
Karma,
not one thing.
Well, Karma, thank you very much. We'll leave it there. Now, Kevin, he's from Warren Point. Kevin.
How you doing? Kevin Didgemore here.
Hello.
Listen, I'm just listening to that load of rubbish that these MLAs getting raises and all the rest of it. My good wife...
No raises, Kevin. Pay freeze.
What?
They're proposing a pay freeze. They're proposing a pay freeze.
Well, listen. Now, the government sent out a raise. She's an old-age pensioner, like myself, and she got a raise of 13p. Now, they sent a letter out for 13p to tell her she was getting 13p, and it's going to cost as much as a first class stamp. It's ridiculous to send out a letter, you know what I mean, and to say that you're getting 13p of a raise. I think it's ridiculous. They're getting, the MLAs and them is getting too much money and they're doing nothing.
Okay, thanks very much for that. We're going to go to Patrick.
Hiya. I don't think they should get a raise. I mean, the only thing I ever see them trying to justify in Northern Ireland is the fact that the unemployment figures are down, you know. And then I had a chat with William about a few weeks ago and discovered that there are 20,000 people in Northern Ireland who are on zero contracts and they're listed as working. And really, you think of it, they're not really working. Then I discovered this morning that Paxton was on and he grilled Cameron. And he said to Cameron, there's 700,000 people in the UK on zero contracts.
Patrick,
that's
thanks.
That's slavery. That's not even right. Well, and that's how they justify getting their money, that they are cutting unemployment when they're really not.
OK, Patrick, thanks very much for that view. I just want to get back to our callers just very, very briefly. But people, people don't seem to have a good view on what our politicians are doing.
No, that's true. I mean, you've heard exactly the point I was making before. Can never to the radio and say the things I'm saying because he'll get banned for it.
We're having a bit of a problem with your phone there. You're breaking up a wee bit. Seamus, what do you think about what people have been saying there?
Yes, well, the voice of the people is clearly unanimous. I think there were a couple of interesting points were brought out by the general public. Alex referring to the expenses. I advocated before that perhaps they should amalgamate expenses into their salaries and do away with this nonsense, this wastage that comes about through expenses. John's referred to the number of MLAs. There is a proposal that they should be reduced by, I think it's 2021. I would argue that should happen now. The public should see a reduction from the 108 down to the figure that was proposed. That should happen before the 2016 election. And the whole aspect about what the general public are seeing is that they're seeing the wastage that is brought about by some of our MLAs.